From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. America's suburbs tend to be ill-equipped to deal with the blight and social problems they sometimes inherit from their big city neighbors. But reporter Nancy Solomon found a new model for suburban renewal just outside Newark, New Jersey.
Queen Pearson has lived on Elm Street through the best of times and the worst of times. She moved to this orange New Jersey street of wooden Victorians and big maple trees in 1968.
Every single house was gorgeous, full of kids. And then the older people moved out or they just went into retirement homes. And the properties on this end became rentals or they just left them. And it started to go down. Squatters moved in.
But after a long period of decline, Elm Street is making a comeback. On this afternoon, Pearson and other neighbors are attending a small celebration at the last house on the block to be reclaimed from the drug dealers and renovated right down to its handsome wood parquet floors. They're welcomed into the sparkling, clean, but still vacant house by Pat Morrissey, the Director of Housing and Neighborhood Development Services, or HANDS, a community group that purchased and rehabilitated the house.
It would start to get dark, and people were afraid to walk to the corner store to get a gallon of milk. Am I right?
Right.
Because of what was happening in these two houses.
An out-of-state bank held the mortgage, and the city had long ago sold the tax debt to a collection agency. Morrison says HANDS had to convince various creditors the property was no longer worth its assessed value. This sort of red tape keeps abandoned properties in limbo. Alan Malik, a planning consultant who regularly travels around the country, says abandoned properties are dragging down older suburban neighborhoods adjacent to most American cities.
These communities, in many cases, are worse off than the cities. They don't have a university. They don't have a port. They don't have a corporate headquarters. So they're really starting from ground zero, and it's going to be an awful lot tougher for them to deal with these problems.
It took housing activist Morrissey 10 years to figure out that all his ambitious projects, building new housing, training local carpenters, and fabricating ready-made housing, weren't stopping the blight in Orange.
A man down on New Street in Orange said to me, "I don't need a crystal ball to tell you where this neighborhood's headed. All I got to do is look at that building across the street." A light went off, and I realized that that house that had been deteriorated and vandalized, its redevelopment meant much, much more than 10 new houses on a vacant lot.
Then HANDS created what Morrissey calls the Weight Watchers approach to home buying.
Okay, page 23. We're on the chapter of estimating your house payment.
Every other Thursday, about a dozen members of the Home Buyers Club meet with teacher Liz Jackson. They discuss how to get a mortgage, how to negotiate a home price, and most importantly, how to get out of debt and save money for a down payment.
Did anybody find something in that budget that they think they need to start eliminating?
I got my, changed my cell phone plan. What else I did? I stay home a little bit more.
56-year-old Jean-Fils King, a teacher's aide in the local schools, has realized that home ownership might be a dream more attainable than she thought.
I've always had a stable job. I guess thinking about the responsibility of being a homeowner, I kind of backed off, and I felt it was one time easier to rent than it would be to own. But now, as you get older and you settle, you like to have something that you can call your own.
After King finishes the six-month program, she can choose whether to purchase a renovated HANDS home or find something on her own. If she buys a former abandoned building like 155 Elm Street in Orange, King will find an added bonus to owning her own home. Her neighbors will welcome her with open arms. For NPR News, I'm Nancy Solomon.